I felt my car run over something. I got out of my car.
Valuables are flattened.
So by accident, he drove over your bag and destroyed some of your property. You called the police, and he says you embarrassed him.
Then a flat-out lie.
Who was there?
My family witnessed the accident happen.
No one witnessed the accident.
This dad knows that he better not tell me anything that's not true.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Joshua Pacata is suing 19-year-old Anthony Catalano for running over his duffel bag in the pit area of a racing event. Anthony is countersuing, claiming Joshua publicly humiliated him.
Order. All rise. This is case number 277 on the calendar, the matter of Pacata versus Catalano.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Gentlemen, have a seat.
Ah, Mr. Pacata. This whole incident took place in an area that I assume is for car racing. Is that right?
Yes.
And you race your car?
Yes, ma'am.
And do you race your car?
I was not racing that day, but I do in other times.
Okay. And when you went to the place where you were racing your car, you had a backpack. And what I gather is you took your backpack and you put it on the ground. Mr. Catalano comes up in his car, and I'm certain doesn't see your backpack, because you wouldn't drive over something, because you never know what's inside. It could be a puppy, it could be something that you could hurt. So by accident, he drove over your bag and destroyed some of your property. And then you tried to go through insurance, his insurance, to have them pay for your broken property. And his insurance company came back and said, what kind of person puts their thing on the ground where cars drive? That's not his fault, it's your fault. So his insurance company disclaimed. So far, is that correct? And that's why we're here, to see if I either agree or disagree with his insurance company. Now, Mr. Catalano has a rather unusual counterclaim. He's counterclaiming because he says you embarrassed him, because you made such a big mitzvah, a big deal, over your bag being run over. You called the police, and it became a whole big event, and he was embarrassed. That's what your counterclaim is, right?
Correct.
It's not happening. So far as I know, there is no such cause of action, thank goodness, in the law, as being embarrassed. The ball is in your court. You explain to me why his insurance company was wrong.
Your Honor, I believe they...
Start from the beginning.
Sure. On June 1st, 2014, I participated in an event called Autocross. That's the kind of event.
I want you to understand something.
Sure.
I'm a relatively bright woman. I like when you speak in a moderated tone so that I actually understand it. This is not a race to the finish.
It's...
Who is he?
This is my father, yeah.
Did you ever tell him to slow down?
Yes, Your Honor.
Because I could tell. You said, he's not talking too fast. Go ahead.
So on this day I participated, I was a registered driver. And as mentioned, there is a course area and then a designated pit area where registered drivers store their cars and their belongings.
So you have a designated parking area,
mm-hmm,
for your what?
For our equipment.
No, for your car.
For
a designated parking area.
Yes, for the participating cars.
And then you have another designated area, a pit area for equipment?
No.
Or is it the same area?
Same area, ma'am.
I want you to tell me, what equipment do you use? Because then he's going to tell me. What equipment do you use for racing?
So as part of racing, we empty our cars, including the spare tire, the jack, and any other ancillary bags you have, like my backpack.
So you took out your spare tire, your jack, and your backpack?
Yes, ma'am.
And you put them all in the same place?
Yes, in my designated area, in that pit area.
In
the pit area.
How many cars share the pit area?
I would say there are about 50 entrants that day, so I would say 50 cars.
Are there lines there in the pit area? Yeah.
Yes.
Do you have a photograph of it?
Yes.
I'd like to take a look at it.
This is a picture of the car in the area. And in there are the pictures also.
Just a second.
Sorry, excuse me.
It's just like a big parking lot.
Because the picture was kind of focused on my mom and my sister.
I don't care if it's focused on your mom. I don't care if it's focused on your girlfriend or the car or the people in the background. Bird, would you do me a favor? Does this look like a big parking lot with lines?
Looks like a big parking lot with lines.
Are all these spaces filled?
No, because it's facing towards the course area, ma'am, the clear area.
Okay. And how many spaces do you have? Because these are clearly parking spaces. They're lined. Listen to me. When they're not using this area for racing, what do they use it for?
They're using it for parking, ma'am.
They use it for parking.
Yes,
that's what it is. It's a parking lot. It's not a pit area. It's a parking lot with spaces like you would go to Walmart, Kmart, the Piggly Wiggly, wherever you go. You have a parking lot. The parking lot has lines. You park in between the lines. And there's, according to this, and this was the day of the race?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, this doesn't say anything here. It doesn't say Pecata. When you get there, is there a number on the spaces? Because it doesn't appear to be any number on the space.
No, you will find an empty spot. There is not. It's not
pre-assigned. So you find an empty space, and you park your car between the lines in an empty space. And where did you put, Mr. Pecata, your spare tire, your jack, and your backpack?
To the side of the vehicle.
To the side of the vehicle in another parking space?
Yes, you can take over multiple parking spaces, not just one. You can have a whole parking
area. Yeah, oh, shoot, oh, what a coulda. What do you mean you can? Where does that say you can take over multiple parking spaces? You just told me that you pulled your car in and you take an available space.
If I may explain, we pull into the pit area.
Listen to me. I know you're calling this a pit area. It's a parking lot. I know what a pit area looks like because I've been in a pit area at a real racetrack. This is not it. This is a parking lot. So you park your car here, and it's not assigned because I said there's no word Pecata on here.
But the pit area is designated, ma'am. The pit area is designated, and there are cones around the area that designate the pit area. I have a picture of another event happening.
I don't want to see another event happening. You said this was the event that day, and now you're telling me that you took your things and you put them in another lined, designated area.
Next to my car.
Next to your car.
Yes, ma'am.
But you didn't have a designated area. You just pulled into an empty space. Follow my question, Mr. Pecata, because this is what you told me a moment ago. You pulled into an empty space. That's what you told me a moment ago. You said there were no assigned spaces. You pull into an empty space.
The whole section of the area is assigned, ma'am, and I picked an empty spot to put my car in within the pit area.
Listen, you can say it as many times as you want. It's still a parking lot. Unless I'm missing something. Am I missing something? Is this a parking lot?
Yes, Your Honor.
Fine. And what I assume happened was you pulled into an empty space?
Correct.
And the empty space was next to his car?
Incorrect.
Where was it?
He actually wasn't there when it actually happened. I actually have a diagram from the police report that shows there was actually no cars. There was one car near this parking spot. Because when they actually race, if you look at the diagram over here, do you see the semicircle that he kind of drew? The parking spots are actually to the right of that, in that big open area. My friend Vin was actually...
No. Show me where your car was parked.
Right here, ma'am.
Within that semicircle?
Yes, ma'am.
But that's just one big parking lot?
Yes, ma'am.
So that's where your car was, where that red dot is?
Yes, ma'am.
And show me where your backpack was.
It was in that area. It's very expanded. If I may show a chart from the police that shows up.
Sure.
Yes. Here's the report, ma'am.
Can I see your chart as well, please?
It's actually the same chart, but absolutely.
Oh, good. Let me make sure. Well, this is the police accident report. I assume that this is your car.
Incorrect.
That's not his car?
That is not his car.
Really?
His car, actually, he wasn't even there at the time. He was actually in his car racing. I felt my car run over something. I got out of my car. I stopped. I asked two people before.
Just a second. So is what you're telling me his car, there was no car
here? That was a red Mazda 3. That was actually what type
of car that was. Is that correct, Mr. Pecata?
My car was parked.
Were you there?
No.
When his car ran over your property?
Personally, I was not there, but the car was there. But I was...
Sure. So who was there?
My family witnessed the accident happen.
No one witnessed the accident. I went over and found
his
sister.
Dad is not going to tell me anything that's not true. This dad knows that he better not tell me anything that's not true. Do you understand?
Yes, Your Honor.
He was there.
After the accident, he's already there, Your Honor, but he's coming in driving in the parking lot.
Who?
Him.
You mean Mr. Catalano?
Yes.
Listen to me carefully. Stand up, sir, next to your son. Did you see Mr. Catalano run over the bag?
Yes, Your Honor.
Fine. And did he pull into an empty parking space?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you. Sit down. That's why his insurance company denied the claim, because you left your bag in an empty parking space, and he didn't see it when he pulled in. And if you were there, and you say your car was there, put it in front of your car. You had plenty of room to put a backpack in front of your car. Why do you put it in an empty space next door and leave it unattended? If I believe all that, why would you do that?
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Your car doesn't take up the entire square. You could have put it right in front if it was a valuable backpack, and you'll be careful not to run over it in your space. I mean, it's such a ridiculous claim.
And later today...
Did you give her an estimate?
I gave her an estimate by what I seen at the time at her home, but it was more damage that I could not...
Now you're making excuses for what happened later.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy.
Joshua Picata says Anthony Catalano ran over his duffel bag in the pit area of a racing event.
Now, why would you not empty your stuff out of your car and put it right in front of your car so it's in your little square instead of taking your valuable backpack and putting it in an empty parking space?
I put it in the side space because I did not want to put it in the flow of traffic. In the flow of traffic where people can...
Yeah, I didn't tell you to put it in the flow of the traffic, sir. I looked at the picture that you gave me. Your car doesn't take up the entire square. You could have put it right in front if it was a valuable backpack, and you'll be careful not to run over it in your space. It's such a ridiculous claim. You left your bag in a parking lot where cars are moving around. You don't have your name on that spot. It's not an assigned spot. There are no cones around that spot, nothing to prevent a car from pulling into that spot, and you leave.
Ma'am, there's a certain expectation that a person driving through here would have to take caution driving through this area.
Don't talk about reasonable expectation that other people will look around on the ground and not run over something. He pulled into an empty parking space.
With my stuff where in the spot.
Where you had not parked a car.
But my stuff was in the spot.
Listen
Can
to
he
me.
Have
no,
over?
Your stuff. Listen to me. Parking lot was for cars. That's what it's there for. Your backpack laying on the ground. Somebody knows if they're looking for a parking space, this is where their eye level is. Their eye level is here. They're driving around. They're saying, I don't see a bumper in that spot, so it's probably blank. And when they see it, they say, oh, it's empty. And they go in because they're not looking on the ground.
Well, it wasn't empty. There's my things were on the ground. How can you pull
Listen,
it into the ground?
You were absent on the day of personal responsibility, sir. Your case is dismissed. That's all.
Why is that excused? You may step out.
You should watch where you're driving and not possibly hit things.
I'm pretty happy with the way it worked out.
You should look where you're going.
Most of what he was saying was completely false.
I plan on driving faster.
Be careful where you're parking.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of King versus Bradley. Step forward.
Layla King is suing her former friend, mechanic Vincent Bradley, for towing fees and car parts after he conned her into letting him fix her truck.
All right, Miss King, you knew Mr. Bradley how?
I was dating his brother.
And according to you, he came to your house for some reason and he saw you had a car that was not running.
Right.
And it wasn't running because it had been in an accident?
Correct.
What year car was it?
2001.
What kind?
Chevy Silverado truck.
So now the car is not drivable?
No.
Did you have anybody look at it?
No, it just got towed and then it got towed back to my house.
Then he comes to the house. You were dating his brother. Are you a mechanic by trade, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
And you made an arrangement with him to fix the car?
Yeah, he actually called me.
I don't care. Comes to your house. Show him the car. Who towed the car to his shop?
He towed it.
So you took a look at the car?
Yes, ma'am.
And did you give her an estimate?
I gave her an estimate, judging by what I seen at the time at her home. But it was more damage that I could not...
Now you're making excuses for what happened later.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
So you had the car from September 7th up until September 25th.
Not always in my possession, though. First, I had to take it to a machine shop out.
I don't care.
Oh, Lord.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy.
Layla King says former friend, mechanic Vincent Bradley, owes for towing fees and car parts.
Okay. Probably it's a good idea to say, listen, this is what I see, but I have to put it up on a lift. Did you give her a ballpark figure of what you saw the damage would be?
Yes, ma'am.
And what was that figure?
$1,500.
And then you took it to your shop. On what date did you take it to your shop?
It was the 15th of September, if I'm not mistaken.
9/15.
9/7.
Okay. Women usually remember dates more than men. Men have memories that are better in some other things, but women usually know their
dates.
He
actually wrote me out a receipt here.
Okay, and the receipt says?
It says 9/7.
Can I see it, please? Okay, so now we're at 9/7, right?
Okay, yes, ma'am.
And that's what he charged me for towing.
Okay, just one second. And she paid you $70 just to get the car to your shop.
It ended up costing me $100,
though. I don't care what it ended up costing you. $70 paid for towing.
Okay.
Is what it says here.
Yes.
And you were going to charge her parts $1,000 and labor $500.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's on September the 7th. Now, you paid him how much after the 70?
I don't have the exact amount.
Well, you should have the exact amount because that's why we're in court
today. I understand it, but I got everything broke down, but I don't have the exact amount. Okay, so after that, he asked me for more money.
You're going to do it my way or the highway?
He gave me another receipt.
Just a second.
Mm-hmm.
My way or the highway?
Okay.
Now he's got the car in the shop. And when was the next time you gave him
the
money?
The next day.
Next day you go to the shop.
No,
No, she didn't, Your Honor.
Shh. I'll come to you.
I went to the shop.
Just a second. How much money did you give him?
Total?
No, the next time you gave him
$100.
On what date did you give him $140?
On the 8th.
When was the next time that you saw him?
The 10th. He came by my house.
And what was the conversation on the 10th?
He needed money for a battery.
Did you give him money for
$30.
When was the next time you saw him?
On the 15th.
Go ahead.
When I went out there from the 8th to the 15th, the truck was in the same position.
All I asked you was the next amount of money that gave him.
$350.
On what date?
The 15th. I have the receipt for that when I withdrew money from
I'll take all your receipts. When was the next time you gave him money?
That's the last time I gave him money, on the 15th.
So that in total you gave him $140, $30, and $350.
Mm-hmm. And then $20 for gas, and then I had to get my truck.
I don't care about gas. I don't care
about the get my truck towed back to my house.
I don't care about that either.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning sponsored by... Want justice? Go to JudgeJudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Okay, a car wasn't fixed. On what date did you have your car towed back to your house?
On the 25th.
So you had the car, Mr. Bradley, from September 7th up until September 25th.
Yes, ma'am. Not always in my possession, though. First, I had to take it to a machine shop out.
I don't care.
Oh, Lord.
It's in your possession. It's not in our possession. Whether you take it to a glass blower, anybody else, it doesn't matter.
It matters to me because she's wrecking my credibility.
You always had to sit.
It don't matter.
Don't speak now. So now you towed the car back to your shop. Listen to me carefully. And now you have an opportunity to look at it because you were going to tell me something before. And here's your problem, Mr. Bradley. You were going to tell me that from looking at the car there, I gave her an estimate for $1,500, but it wasn't in your shop. Then you take it to the shop, you put it up on a lift, you look at it and open it up, and you say, well, I can't fix this car for $1,500, or this car can't be fixed at all. But then why are you taking any more money for it? And you would do that within the first day or two. You have plenty of time to look at the car and say, because I read your answer. And your answer is she's not entitled to any of her money back because she knew her truck couldn't be fixed. That's what you wrote.
She told me this that day when I got her back to my shop, that someone else told her that the car was that it was not fixed.
What difference is it then? Why did you take
money
for her?
I bought parts for her car thinking that I could fix her car. And when I took it to the machine shop, I was trying to get it fixed so I could put the parts on her car that I purchased already. Because she has a baby from my brother. I was trying to help her.
What a part
between her and my brother, this between her and them. It ain't even got nothing to do with me.
It's your business.
Hey!
I don't know you from a can of paint, lady. I ain't never seen you.
That's fine.
Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $550. Don't talk out in court, sir. It just cost you $550. That's all.
What is our excuse? Step up.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy...
You claim she stole your property.
This 18-year-old loses his prized possessions.
It's junk.
I don't understand how it was junk.
One man's treasure is another man's junk.
Judge Judy.
After I had put all these hours into it, that's when she tells me that somebody else told her the truck wasn't fixed.
He's shady. He real shady.
Look where I'm at now, on Judge Judy for foolishness.
It's about him doing business the right way, and he wasn't trying to do business the right way, so I brought him to court. He had to get sued.